So tonight, Pastor Wally is going to bring us a lovely word along these lines. Praise the Lord. Pastor Wally.
Shall we pray? Ah, Heavenly Father, we worship and we welcome you. We thank you for your presence tonight. Lord, I come, Lord, humbling myself before you. I strip myself of all preparation, Lord, of confidence in what I've done. I ask for your mercy to use it, Lord, effectively according to your will in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will speak through my tongue. Let it be like the pen of a ready writer, that you will, Lord, cause your word to go forth in power, in accuracy, to do an eternal work in the hearts and lives of men. Lord, indeed, to further your kingdom and your will on the earth, that it be done. Lord, I ask, O Lord, for great mercy, and I ask for you to come and help us, Holy Spirit, as I yield myself unto you. I worship and I welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Share a short word as myself and Pastor Andrew of exhortation. It's called the set time of favor. The set time of favor. And, we could just get straight to that scripture. Could you Psalm 102? Verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. This is a scripture that we should be all very familiar with, I'm sure. Pastor has preached it. Mommy has prophesied it. Pastor Buga has prayed it. And Pastor Andrew has sung it. So we all know a set time of favor, set time of favor, set time of favor. But you see, it is being repeated so many times because this is the time. Amen. And let's just read it together. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Praise the Lord. Indeed, the set time to favor Zion has come. This is a prophetic scripture, as you know. And with all prophetic things like this, God sets the time. Amen. It is God that sets the time. Tell your neighbor that it is God that sets the time. Amen. And his men that work it out with him. Because you see, it's not the time like a calendar time when you say, well, on the 31st of April, down the road, we're going to do this and this and that. All right, but God says the set time of this is happening. It's a time that is based on conditions. It's based on conditions, and those conditions must be fulfilled, and then the time is ready and time comes. Praise the Lord. I have a funny example that I will use to demonstrate this. But if you were to go home, for example, and you want to make ogi. That's what you want to eat, eh? Yes, ogi. Once you start on the course of wanting to prepare it, there's an expectation, there's a hope, and there is a set time for the preparation, okay? And if you were to use normal time, you would probably say, well, in about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, it'll be ready, okay? But if it were written according to the way God writes his prophetic words, it would be probably said something like this, that at the time when the water boils, in the place where the ingredients are gathered, then there the people shall arise and make the ogi. Praise the Lord. Did you get that? Okay, so it's based on conditions. Even the location. You can have faith for doing it if you're in the place where the ingredients are. But if you're not in the place where the ingredients are, you can't, because you haven't heard the word. Okay? So this is how the set time works, praise the Lord. God has had many set times throughout the Bible. There's been a set time for the release of captivity from Egypt. And there's been a set time for the release of captivity from Babylon. There's been a set time for the release of the church from sin, even as the Lord Jesus came. And there's now a set time for the release, for the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. And the release of the church from spiritual immaturity. Praise the Lord. This is something that God is the passion of his heart right now. Amen. It is the passion of his heart. That's why we have all our cluster groups. Everybody's praying. Basically, when I'm praying now, it's basically the same thing I'm praying all the time. Whether it's my morning prayer, whether it's my whatever type of prayer, whatever it is. At the end of the day, in my heart, it is, fulfill your purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's basically the burning desire of all prayer now. Praise the Lord. So, the set time of God's favor. This is a very important thing. When you look at this scripture, I want you to see something. In this scripture, there is two types. There are two types of favor. And it's not obvious, but I'm going to, by the grace of God, help you to see these two types of favor here. The set time of favor, which is come, is one that is based on a time. And you wonder, because it's talking about the favor to Zion, you wonder, well, if that is Zion's favor and that is is based on us and it happens at a particular time, then does that mean that Zion has not been having favor all this time, all the other times? No, of course not. The Bible says that God loves and desires Zion above all the other dwellings. The Bible talks about pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, there has been favor for Zion throughout the scriptures. Zion enjoys favor every single day. Praise the Lord. And all the time. So obviously, this set time, this type of favor here is different from the one he has been having all the time. That favor that Zion has been experiencing all the time is the Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee. That is, I will bless those, whoever it is, that blesses Zion. Who is Zion? Let's just clarify that first. Ultimately, Zion is the church that is manifesting the fullness and the perfection of Christ. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Thank you, sir. Yes. Now, that is ultimately what it is. Now, of course, that church is not on the earth manifest at the moment. However, Zion has always been present on the earth. How has Zion been present? In the heart. The Bible says of David, I have found a man. How does it say it now? Who is willing to do all my will? If you can find it, let's just put it up there. Yes, okay. I have found David. Let's read it together. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Praise the Lord. He will do all the will of God. That heart, willing to do all the will of God, willing to do all the will of God. God has always had people in every generation who are willing to do all the will of God. And those are the hearts that God is using and has been using to build Zion. So in every generation, he has hearts that are building Zion, building Zion, building Zion. Not yet Zion is not in its fullness, has not yet manifest. But they have, he has had hearts that have been building Zion and building Zion in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, what happens is that, you see, God raises up people to show them favor, to bless them, to help them. Because you see, up until now, Zion has been in immaturity, under tutors and governors, praise the Lord, until the time appointed of the Father, the set time, praise the Lord. But that set time, before that set time is ready, Zion has been blessed. How does that be? For example, he raises up people like Cyrus. He had to make sure that Cyrus was blessed. He had to make sure that Cyrus, nothing happened to Cyrus. Nothing happened, that Cyrus was very, very well situated, that he was in a position to be able to say, to say, go and build Jerusalem. Even though he was an unbeliever. So you can extrapolate it back. You can say he had to bless the people that had to help Cyrus. He had to bless the people that had to bless the people that had to help Cyrus, to who was going to bless Zion. So you see, all favor shown on the earth to anybody at all is ultimately for the sake of Zion. It is for the sake of Zion. Even the rain, even the sun that falls on the good and the evil is for the sake of Zion. How? Just imagine what would happen if the sun shone on only the righteous and did not shine on the wicked. The wicked would soon understand what was going on, and they would now rise up against us, and we will not have peace, and we will not be able to build Zion. So for us to have peace, God has to bless them, let them be satisfied, let them be, so that they will not disturb the building of Zion. That's why we need peace in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. That's why we must live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's why it's important, so that we can build Zion. We can come to church. We can pray. We can, you know, we can live our lives and pray the kingdom come, that will be done. That is why. Praise the Lord. So ultimately, all favor, Whether it's on the wicked or on the semi-wicked or on the fully wicked or the those who are righteous or the ungodly, it is for the sake of Zion. Because if you trace where it's going to bless someone who God can use to build Zion. Praise the Lord. And that favor has been going on every day for Zion's sake. Every moment. It never stops. Praise the Lord. It never stops. Now, the thing is this. That particular favor, if you look at it, I will bless them that bless thee. You will discover that in that circumstance, Zion is receiving the blessing. And the Bible says, without contradiction, the lesser is blessed of the greater. So Zion has been under. What has she been under? Under tutors and governors. That is Galatians 4:1. Under, let's just read that. Now, let's see, read it again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, which is the set time. Praise the Lord. Is under tutors and governors. Good people that God raises up. Good, you know, to be a blessing to them. But still under. Until. Now what happens at the time, at the set time? What happens at the set time? What's the difference between the favor, this favor that we've been seeing, and the set time favor?
Well,
Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 2. From verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Go on. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Go on. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Just wait a minute. Has it occurred to you at all? Don't put up your hand. Has it occurred to you at all? Is it hey, Pastor, all this prophesying of glory coming. Maybe you should be, you know, gentle and say it in this way. So, look, things are getting worse every day. People are dying everywhere. The raging of the heathen is getting more and more and more and more. And we always say every year we are saying, you know, the glory is coming. Maybe you should just, you know, be careful and, you know, say gently somehow, diplomatically, you know. Let's prophesy diplomatically, you know, Pastor. We're just trying to help you. Hello? Do you know God's answer to that? Do you know God's... Shall I tell you? Say, Pastor, give me God's answer. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Praise the Lord. When was the last time you laughed at someone's question? Maybe it was a little boy. Your little boy or your grandchild or whatever comes to you and says, Daddy, it's getting so dark. Are you sure the sun is going to come up tomorrow? And you just laugh. You just laugh and say, look, son, believe me. Just go to sleep. Believe me. In fact, I swear by myself, this sun is coming up tomorrow. Surely. I don't even know how to say it to you, but just rest assured. That's the kind of question you laugh at. God laughed. It even countenanced an answer, but a laugh first. Praise the Lord. It is well with Nigeria. It is well with Nigeria. You see the raving of the heathen. Raging of the heathen. You see all sorts of things happening. So many terrible things happening here and there. But let me tell you. He that sits in the heavens laughs. Why is he laughing? Because he knows. He knows that nothing is going to stop what he has promised. Amen. Absolutely nothing is going to stop it. So it's just laughable. It's just laughable. Praise the Lord. Let's just go on. Go on. Next verse. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Go on. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. Wait a minute. Yet. Yet means in spite of all that stuff that is going on. In spite of all that, I have still set my kings upon my holy hill in Zion. And in this case, it is Zion from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. In the land where the rivers divide. I have set my king in the midst of all that turmoil. I have set my king, and there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing. So since I've done that, the next thing is going to happen as well. Praise the Lord. So he has set his king upon his holy hill in Zion. This now is the favor the favor of the Son. Praise the Lord. So the set time, this is the favor of the Son. A favor of the Son. And the other favor, which was every day, is the favor of the child. And the set time is when one other favor swallows up the other. And the child that was beneath now becomes above. He says in Deuteronomy, yes, I didn't write that down, but there, 28:1, yes. 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Praise the Lord. And in verse 13, 14 or so, somewhere down there, it talks about it should be the head and not the tail. It should be above and not beneath. And you will lend to nations and not borrow. That is a blessing, but it's not the same blessing as when you are receiving. This is the blessing. Thank you, Brother Card. It is the blessing. You are now the blesser, from whom all blessings flow after God. From God, yes, through you, down to everyone else. That is the change that this scripture is talking about. Another level of favor. Another level of favor. The set time of favor. Now, this set time of favor, this fixed time, what are the conditions that what are some of the conditions that tell us that this is the time? I want us to, there's a scripture that we know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. There are one or two things I want to bring from there. 2 Chronicles 7:14, here we are. We all know this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Stop there before I finish it. Notice that everything we've read up to now is not directed towards healing the land. It's directed towards healing the heart. Wow. Wow. And as a consequence of that, we now have a healing of the land. Praise the Lord. So we can see here that, and by the grace of God, I give glory to God. Everything, look, my people called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek. All these are things that, by the grace of God, in this house, we've been taught to do year after year after year after year. I thank God for the fathers of this house consistently on that message. Because you see, that's the only thing that's going to move the nation. That's the only thing that's going to bring God's kingdom to come. That's the only thing that's going to move God's time clock forward. That's all it is. And then as a consequence, we have a healing of the land. Do you know that the world has never seen a healed land? We have seen it in typology, but we have never seen a healed land yet. Psalm 144. Thank you, sir. Why had in mind. No complaining in the streets. And there's so many other things there. Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Verse 8, Psalm 144. Go down a bit, yes.
10, 11.
Go down to 10, 11. Verse 10, 11. Go down to verse...
Next one is 12.
Okay, 12.
13, 12.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes, look, see. Thank you, sir. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Go on. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. Our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets.
Next verse.
Next verse. The oxen will be strong to labor, and there'll be no breaking in, nor going out, and there'll be no complaining in our streets.
Next verse.
Next verse. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a healed land. That's a healed land. It doesn't exist at the moment on the earth. It has never existed. No, not even in Israel. True, sir. Thank you, sir. But the first healed land that is going to... Now get this. The first healed land that God is bringing forth is going to come from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And let me go further to say it's going to be in the land where the rivers divide. Why? Because God is a Nigerian? No. Because he likes the way we play football? Is it the way he likes the way we, you know, joke and gist or speak our language? No, no, no. None of those things. It's because he has found a people that is called by his name, that has humbled themselves to pray. Because he has found suppliants that will bring forth an offering. It is when the land is healed and those suppliants are stepping into maturity, the land will bring forth an offering that has never been brought to God before. An offering in righteousness from a people scattered and peeled. Terrible for the beginning. All these things even though that is not yet, we have seen the blade. We have seen God moving in supernatural ways in our country. We have seen him doing things that he has saved us, you know, from war. He has saved us from so many things. We pray, he answers, we see the answer. We know that his hand is strongly on this land. We know. We can see it by the grace of God. We've seen. So we know that this system is working. It's working. And all we need to do is to continue working it.
Amen.
Continue working it. Not to let up. Let our hands not be slack. We will not hold our peace. For Zion's sake. Until our righteousness go forth as a lamp that burneth. And all the kings see our glory. So there's an end to it. And we're working towards it. Praise the Lord. So these things we can see from the inside. The Bible says that the kingdom does not come with observation. We can see from the inside. If you're working, if you're in this system, you're praying these prayers, you will see from the inside that the kingdom is coming. You will know that, you know, you are changing.
Amen.
You will know that I wasn't like this before. You will know something is happening on the inside. And then you will have a witness on the outside. Corporately, we see our nation. We pray God answers. So you know something's happening. And then the prophetic word has gone forth. The trumpetic voice has gone forth. And then we have seen the blood moons. And the sun turning dark. So all these things, those signs we see in Joel, tell us that the other things that Joel is talking about are very near, which is the manifestation of the glory of God in our midst. So we know that this is how these things set the time. This is how all these activities, these conditions set the time. Praise the Lord. Now, this set time of favor, it's also, you can also look at it as a time of where God is considering us for promotion. Praise the Lord. You know, everybody in the church likes that word promotion. Consider me, O Lord. Everybody say, consider me, O Lord. I didn't hear you very well. Consider me, O Lord. You wanted to consider you for promotion. Hey, amen. double promotion. That's what we like. Well, okay, no problem. But why, if it's promotion, why are things so hard? Why are things so hard? If it's a time of favor, why are things getting so hard in our finances, in our country? Everything seems to be getting harder. Why? Why? Let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 8. Job 1:8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Everybody say, consider me, O Lord. We are not talking much again. Let me tell you something. Okay, let's go. Let's just finish. Consider my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Praise the Lord. Believe it or not, this is Job's set time of favor. God has considered him for promotion. But God is required by law to invite an external examiner. So, do you still want to be considered? Okay. Onward ever and backward never. You have to be considered. Yes, he has to invite the external examiner. The same thing he did with the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus. It happened to him. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then after that, he leaves the Jordan and now goes straight into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. External examiner. You know you can't beg the external examiner. You know, when we were in school, they would tell us that WAEC exam you're going to do. You can't beg them. It's not your teacher that's going to mark it. Not the one you know. And when this external examiner comes, you know, he doesn't have mercy. Just God that's restraining him. That's why that's why God must arise and have mercy in the set time of favor, because he knows he's going to invite the external examiner, and that guy doesn't have mercy at all. So God has to hold him, and help you, have mercy upon you, because he knows what you're going to have to go through. He knows. He knows what you're going to have to go through. And you see, when we go through these things, these difficulties and these times of, you know, testing and proving, it's a time when the secrets of men's hearts begin to come out. It happened for Job. It happens for every man. In Romans 2:16, we can see that scripture there. I think we should just look at it. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Those things are going to come out. You know, the hidden things of the heart. And there's a reason why they have to come out. It's because, you know, it's not that the Bible says that in Deuteronomy 8, it says that I led you through the wilderness and, you know, humbled you and suffered you to hunger to prove you to know what is in your heart. As if that God did not know what was in your heart before he proved you. No, he wanted you to see it. And to acknowledge it. And to change it. And to repent. That's encouraging, you know, because no matter how bad it looks when it comes out, it means it was not coming out in order to condemn you. It's coming out so that you can change it and you can move on and then get past it and get the promotion. So no matter what, how nasty that thing is that it looks, is this really me? Is this really me? Ha! You know, no matter how bad it looks, it means the reason why it was brought in front of you to see is so that you could change it. You receive mercy and change it. Receive mercy to change. So it means it's possible to still change it. That's why it's a hope. The hope. Job, the same thing happened to Job. Praise the Lord. It's like a time where God shows you who you really are. Just like Jacob. What is your name? He had to agree with what his character was. He had to agree to it. Before God could now go on and say, Israel. He didn't say Israel. Before the man opened his mouth and said, yes, my name is Jacob. Supplanter. Yes, it is. He brought Jacob. God tolerated that. You know, Jacob had a basic love for God. But you see, that supplanter thing had been working all through his life. You know? And God, you know, even to get the birthright, he supplanted. 419. His mother helped him. Let's not say much about that. But another message. But it was 4-1. The frightening thing is God let it work. God let it work for two reasons. God let it work. One, because he actually wanted to give him that same. He wanted to give it to him anyway. And I believe in my heart that if Jacob hadn't supplanted for it, both of them would have gone into their father, and the father would probably cross their hands. By the Spirit. Like, was it Joseph? I think it was Jacob. It was Jacob. Yes. The same Jacob. So, he would have still gotten it anyway. And he wouldn't have gone through God wouldn't have had to send him to Laban, who was more corrupt than himself. He was more of a 419, the original one. He was just a chip of the old block. Now was sent to meet the old block. Yes, Laban was his kin. Yes, it was. Thank you, sir. It was his. He runs in the family. Guy. Laban was, yes, was. So he had been running in the family. But that's not an excuse. You know, you say, it's my people, we are always like this. No. That is not an excuse. That is not an excuse. Yes. So, God had to deal with it. He had to deal with it. And it was the set when he left Laban's house. Yes, this is the set time of your favor, Jacob. But before you go any further, we got some wrestling to do. And he met him. And he went through a whole night of wrestling until he touched the hollow of his thigh. You know the story. And he agreed to who he was. And he changed. He needed to change before going to meet his brother. Praise the Lord. So, this is what we have. And the same thing happened, the same thing with Job. I mean, Job, God called Job to order. After Job had talked and said, I this, as Papa Ralph, you know, give us some, on I don't know how many I's there were. I this, I that, after all that, God said, who is this that darkness counsel with words without knowledge? And you see, God is interesting. He didn't say anything negative about him. When he was talking to Satan, he just said, this Job is choose evil, a perfect man, an upright man. And yet God knew he still had to deal with him in certain things. Amazing, yes. So, I'm coming there, sir. we're getting there, sir. Jacob, Job, they both accepted who they were and they changed. That's the most important thing. The change. Accepting and changing by the grace of God. And mercy helped them to change. God arose and had mercy upon them. And they were able to change. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to see, we can still learn, we can learn some things from Mrs. Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. In fact, let's read that scripture. I think we should read that scripture. It is in James 5:11. Because I want you to see the... Behold, we count them happy which endure. Let's read it together. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. And I've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Praise the Lord. God turned Job's captivity around. But he promoted him. That was the promotion that he gave him. So that was the set time of his favor. He finished his exams, he passed, and he was promoted. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was why there's a marked difference between him before and afterwards. Double. Praise the Lord. He received the double. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm sure you haven't heard of the patience of Job's wife. But that's what we're going to discuss for a while at the moment now. Okay. If we look at Job chapter 2 verse 9. That's her only reference. Yes. We don't even know what her name is. Let's read this together. And she said unto the man. Joshua. Shandarabaka, Shandarabaka. Thank you. Okay, what is the scripture we're looking for? Okay. Then said his wife unto him, doth thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die.
Say it now, I won't bite you. Okay. Curse God and die. That's what is scripture. Okay. Notice, she had a problem with his integrity. She had a big problem with his integrity. But you know, when the good times are rolling, that problem didn't really come out. But it was always in the heart. Yes, the hard times. Can you imagine that it was the very first opportunity she had to lambast him about his integrity that she grabbed with both hands? All these years she's been enjoying the integrity has been giving her riches. The riches have been, you know, buying what she wants, doing what she wants, you know, enjoying prosperity of Job, which was more than most people in the land. He was the greatest man in the land. Yes. She was the richest wife. Like a king's wife, like a queen. And the very first opportunity she could get to tear him down because of that integrity, she took it with both hands. What does that tell me? What does that tell you? The bad times brought out what was in her heart. Her heart, she loved the things more than God. She loved the riches. That's where her heart was, in those riches. She loved them. And we too, we need to be careful, because you see, these things, you know, maybe your husband or your wife, you know, maybe at home, you know, is one of you is more righteous than the other, or prays more and does more, you know, and the other one is like, you know. But then the first opportunity you get is, your prayer is too much. Your own is too much. Hello? Your own is too much. Okay. Your own is too much, Joe. Pray. There's a problem here. We have to stop praying and solve the problem. To pray. Then when it's your turn to pray in the morning, you're sleeping. Just wake up and all you can do is get dressed. It's the only time to get dressed and go to work. Then you off to work. Bye. Well, there's no Job's wife here anyway, so. And please don't, women don't take this personally. It's both ways. Nabal was like Job's wife, and Abigail was like Job. So whichever one you want to take. Same thing. Praise the Lord. So, she had a problem. She had a problem with his integrity. Her heart was in the riches. She never knew God in her heart for herself. And yet, the Lord is very merciful and pitiful. When all those things came out, and it was obvious, and she even said those things that she said, Job rebuked her and put her in place if she had accepted it. If she had accepted it, there could have been, you know, God could have done something to help her. He would have. He's a kind God. That's why he brings these things out, you know, so that we can see them before time and change. Praise the Lord. Not to condemn. Yes. God has no pleasure in the death of a sinner. He has no pleasure at all. So, but you see, when these things come out, you have to either choose to repent or rebel. Unfortunately, you know, people, when they rebel, they fight against the person who brought the information to them, you know, and just, they stone the prophets.
How dare you tell me who I am? Praise the Lord. Okay, so there's another group of people that we want to look at their patience now. Job's wife ran out of patience. She didn't really have patience anyway. So another Job's friends. Let's just look at Job's friends for a few minutes. Job was, he was not their mate. The Bible calls them his friends, but he was not their mate. Let me just establish that. Look at Job 29:7. Yes, let's just read to verse 10. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, gone, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged rose and stood up. Next verse. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand upon their mouth. Next verse. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue clave to the roof of their mouth. Let's go to verse 21. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. Next verse. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. Next verse. And they waited for me as the rain. They opened their mouths wide as for the latter rain. Job 30, verse 1. But now, they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Hey! Job knew who he was. But the thing is this, these people were not mates. Job, they did not know God the way Job knew him. And yet, now in his weakness, in his adversity, they dared to condemn him, castigate him, and speak to him as if they were mates and as if they knew God equally, just like Miriam and Aaron did to Moses. Where did the 2,000 cubits go? Where did it go? They had it before, supposedly. But now he's brought down. They presume, so all this your righteousness was not really. Otherwise, why are you suffering these things? Is God a liar? You must have sinned. You must have done something. You are hiding it from us. We didn't know. Repent. So, there was that gap between them. No reverence anymore. No reverence because of his adversity. Yes. The same thing with David. Yes. Thank you, sir. Same thing. Shimei was throwing stones at him. Thou bloody man. Thou whatever. Yes, God has done it for you. Yes, it's well. Yes, it's very good for you. Another one. Yes, God has done it for you now. As you did it for your master, so he's doing for you. No reverence. Job did have some things that God had to correct. But those things that God had to correct, they were not on the level of those his friends at all. It was far above. And God would never discuss such things with them. In fact, if God were to deal with them the way he was dealing with Job, they would not survive. So, how dare they? God, I'm sure God was angry. Yes. but he held himself. Preferred, yes, sir. He asked God to pray for them. God asked Job to pray for them so that they would not perish. Praise the Lord. In the sin. This same thing happened with Miriam and Aaron. They were older than Moses. And they presumed. They took it upon themselves. Shebi, God talks to us as well. We also prophesy. And we are older than this man. We should be able to correct him. Why should he go and marry an Ethiopian woman? A black woman. Huh? Why? He needs to be called to order. So they thought that they were now equal. Because you need to be careful when you think you see a fault in someone who is an oversight to you. Someone who is, you know, look, we're going to see some things here. I ask God, please help me explain how this thing should be. And I believe he helped me to explain it. You know, how to maintain the 2,000 cubit gap is extremely important. It's not a physical distance, so, you know. It's in the heart. Some people think of it as a physical distance, and they use it to, you know, because they don't want to hear certain truth. So they just say, I'm fine where I am. Yeah. Don't come here and tell me anything. It's all right, 2,000 cubits. That's not the 2,000 cubits. That's not to do. Some don't want to be corrected. Yeah. That's why they stay. It's enough. Don't say more. Hi, how are you, Pastor? Well done, mommy. Hi, good. Pastor, hey. You, from far. It's okay. It's safe distance. 2,000 cubits, safe distance. That's what they call it. Or maybe because they're smarting from the last correction. You know? All these things. You know? I want us to see from David. God gave me David as an example of how to establish this 2,000 cubits. Is David did not call Saul by Saul, his name, Lord Saul. He didn't call him anything. Saul. He called him the Lord's anointed. He called him the Lord's anointed. Look at 1 Samuel 24:6. 1 Samuel 24:6. And he said unto his men, let's read it together. Yeah? And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed, the anointing of the Lord. Okay. He said it twice. He has established in his heart. When he looks at that man, he's the Lord's anointed. Ah, the Lord's anointed. Ah, he did this. Ah, he's the Lord's anointed. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 26:9. Quickly. Thank you, Jesus. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? His hand, his tongue, his thought, whatever it is. I ask God, give me an example, please, so I can make it clear. Just imagine, somewhere at Songo Junction, there's a policeman standing, and then this old taxi coming, you know, very old, rickety, making noise, as he's driving, he's coming. Stop, park, my friend, park. I said park. Now, he goes to the window to deal with the man. He looks inside. And at the back, he sees
Oga CP is sitting in the back. The commissioner of police is sitting in the back. Ah, everything is fine, sir. All right, everything fine. Go. Your way is open. Ah, Okada, move out of the way, John. Let them go. Ah. What happened? I don't care what car the CP drives in. That car, they will reverence the car. They will reverence the car anywhere they see. When they see, the way will be open. They will give it respect. This, your oversight, his vessel is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells there. God dwells there. He dwells in all of us, but he dwells more there than in you or in me. And guess what? He's looking at you from the back seat. And he's wondering, how are you going to treat my driver? He doesn't say anything. He's just looking at you, watching. That's how you treat my driver. He's my driver. He's taking me to where I want. I give him instruction to do what he's doing. Yes, the car is not perfect, but I'm sitting here. And you have the effrontery to think the things you are thinking about him. God looks. I thought I heard amen somewhere. No amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have another example too. Give me two examples. Another one. You know, if you were to go to a NEPA substation, you know it has all this equipment inside and it's humming. You know power is flowing and all these things. And it has a fence and it says danger or whatever. You know, how bold would you be to open the gates and just go inside and walk around? You wouldn't think of doing that, would you? No. It's the same power that flows in the appliances in your house. The ones that you interact with closely. The ones that you relax with. The ones that you, your television, your fan, even your mobile phone, even everything around you, your AC, it's the same power. Same power from the same source that flows in all those things. You are relaxed with those things, all right? You enjoy those things, but you respect them. You don't play around with the fact that they have live electricity inside them. There are some things you will not do. You will not allow them to get into water. If it gets wet, you will be very careful. You will not touch it. No matter what it is. So, you give it its respect and its reverence. And yet, you are still close with it. And you utilize it, and it benefits you, and you relax with it, but you don't cross the line. That is how it is. That's how it is. Praise the Lord. So, there is nobody that will go through this season without some measure of ugliness coming out. You will see it, you know, even other people may see it. If you are, you know, you really, really stiff-necked, you know, some of these things, they come out and but the question of them coming out is not an issue. It's what you would do when they come out. That's what matters most. And
What you need to do is to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves every time. We need to accept what we see. Is this me? Yes, this is you. Ah, is this me as well? Yes, that is you as well. Ah, what of this one? It is you also. Repent, repent, repent. Walk on them. The reason why they're coming out and the reason why you can see them is so that you can change. That's all. God didn't bring them out to condemn you. Even though when they come out, it is the enemy that will condemn you with it. See now, useless man. See, again, useless man. There's no way you can ever succeed. You can never be like that. You can never be. If others can be, you cannot be. You and me, we know each other. Right from way back, this thing has been troubling us. So don't think you can get away from it. That's the voice of the devil. I've heard it many times myself. Yes, thank you, sir. God has not given us a spirit of condemnation. No condemnation. Praise the Lord. As we get into to round up now, this is a short word. Yes. I was meditating upon this, and an example came to my heart. The Lord brought it to me about. Let me first get the scripture that started this. James 1:23-24. James 1:23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. Let us read it together. Okay. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Next verse. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Praise the Lord. If a woman should wake up in the morning and look at herself in the mirror, there is no woman who would like what she sees initially. After just waking up, Abba, of course not. Am I right?
Yes.
Which of you will go out with that face that you are seeing? The first face you see in the mirror without doing anything? No, you won't now. But the thing is this, when you see that face in the mirror, You don't get angry with the mirror. You accept that this is in my face. Mm-hmm. And you immediately start working on it. Right? And what do? You get your deep cleanser. You get your deep cleanser, then you get your mark number 4. Then you put mark number 5, mark number 6, and then mark number 7. Guys, we do have an idea. It's expensive. We pay for it. We pay for the stuff, man. Woo! It's not cheap. But we like the result, don't we? Yeah, so. Praise the Lord. So, this is what you do. And by the time you're finished, you're satisfied. What you see. There's no woman that will look at herself in the mirror and shout, "Ah!" And then run quickly to go and get her favorite photograph and put it in the face of the mirror and say, "Hey, that's how I look." Wouldn't you say that? And then you go out thinking that that's how you look. Wouldn't you say that as a mad woman?
No. Let's look and see what we do. Ephesians 5, 25.
Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Next verse. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Next verse. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus has purchased with great price the deep cleanser. The Mark 1, the Mark 2, the Mark 3, the Mark 4, the Mark 5, the Mark 6, the Mark 7. Very expensive stuff. Why do we let it sit on the dressing table? Beholding ourselves in the looking glass of the word and pretending that that's not the person that we saw. We expected to use the stuff to make ourselves a beautiful bride. You know, if a bride is getting ready, if you don't have patience to wait for a bride getting ready to put on her makeup, they will call a professional to come. She will sit. She will do this. She will do that. I don't even know what happens. All we know is when she comes out. Isn't she beautiful? We like the result. Let's use what God has given us. By the blood, the word, and the spirit. We apply these things. We've been taught how to do it. Let's use this. And I believe by the grace of God, our end will be greater than the end of Job. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I shared the other time, last week or a few weeks ago, you know, there's distribution of wealth, there's creation of wealth. We have used to distribution of wealth where people give to us. But we're now going to become the creator of wealth. And then we will now give to the world. Head and not tail. Above only. Not just above all. Only. 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 And not beneath. Lend to nations. Now we are asking nations to help us. But the day is coming. Let's say the way Jesus said it. An hour is coming and now is. And so, dearly beloved, this is such a wonderful word. And I think every single one of us should go and listen to this thing again. You know, now you don't hear everything when you hear it the first time. Fortunately, it's available on the YouTube. It's available after the message. They'll send it to you by email. You can download it and put it onto your computer. These are things that you should go and meditate on. You know, there's so much, you know, and they're deep truths. But illustrated in such a simple way. No woman can forget the makeup. Can't forget that illustration. So when you get up and you read your Bible and you don't like what you see, then you go and take what Jesus has bought. The blood, the word, and the spirit, the deep cleanser. You remove it, all the spots. Then make sure you are looking properly before you leave the house. That's what you do in the morning when you pray. See, your look, he says, I will be satisfied when I see myself in your likeness. That's why women take a time in front of the mirror to make sure that they are satisfied before they leave the house. So if they see one spot here or they see something there, they won't go out. They will remove it. Same thing with sin. Remove it. Attitude. Make sure when you go out, you're going out correct. Hello, somebody. You know, that's something you can never forget. You know, especially women. You can never, none of us can actually forget that illustration, you know. And I like another wonderful thing Pastor Wally said, that, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that the first part deals with the heart. It is when the heart is healed, the land will be healed. When the heart is not healed, how can the land be healed? And he said something, we haven't seen a healed land yet. There is no nation on the earth that you can see Psalm 144. No complaint in the streets. You see people have a little bit of here. They may have a little bit of agriculture. They may have food, you know. But you will see breaking in. You will see complaining in the streets. Their young men are not as grown up in the plants. Then their girls are not like, they are not polished like cornerstones. Hello, somebody. And I was whispering to Pastor Boyega, not even in the time of David, the best, probably the highest time of Israel's existence, let me say the best time of the nation of Israel was under the reign of David and the early part of Solomon's reign. That's what is regarded as the most successful, righteous, and prosperous time of the history of Israel. But even then, there were still the Absaloms. The Bible says Absalom stood in the king's gate and stole the hearts of men. Why? There was complaining in the streets. Even under David, there was complaining in the streets. And so this tells us, you know, that the salvation of the land is really in our own hearts. And I think one other very beautiful thing that was brought out is that the condition is not set on a day, 4th of November 2016, is set on a condition. It's the condition. It's the condition. If my people, which are called, are humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways. Once the conditions are fulfilled, like we brought out prophetically, the spirit of that measure has been released. Even after it was released in the time of Christ, because that's the pattern. You see, Jesus was not idle. He took, it was that spirit on him that he took into the wilderness. And he used it to build himself up by prayer. And he was able to, he was fasting and praying, and then he was able to overcome all the tests that the external examiner brought. That's another beautiful illustration. He had to call an external examiner. Have you considered my servant Job? You know, it's one thing for your father to say you are fine. It's another thing for outsiders to say, yes, it is truly so. So if we want to be considered for promotion, we have to understand that God will call Satan's attention to us to come and test us. But because God has confidence, we will pass. Because he has prepared us. And he is also, like Pastor Wally beautifully brought out, has given us mercy. So the mercy, that's why he has mercy on Zion. So it is by that mercy you'll be able to overcome whatever condemnation or difficulties, hindrances that the external examiner brings. I think the beauty of this, everything we've heard tonight, is that you're going to make it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Even when God shows you your faults, when he shows you your faults, he's not showing you your fault to condemn you. That is a very important mentality. He's showing you so that you can change. So when you see something wrong in your life, don't get angry or rebel against authority or the people who preached it, you know, and feel bad. And no, the reason why the bad things have been shown so that you can change it. So you can change it. God's not interested in condemning you. He's interested in saving you. So when you see faults, when your faults are pointed out through the word, through preaching, through teaching, through correction, through rebuke, don't get angry. Don't get resentful. He said, let the righteous smite me. So I'll be an excellent oil. Let the righteous smite me. It will be an excellent deal. Take it to God. Then go to the Word, the blood, the Word, the Spirit, and say, what can I do? How can I do? And I change this. Another very wonderful thing. Two things really all joined together, and I will close with this, you know, is the fact that we must have the right attitude towards those in authority. I like the way, you know, Pastor Wale illustrated this, you know, when he talked about electricity. You know, electricity that's entering this building now, there is a transformer. It's a transformer somewhere here that's taking that thing from 40,000 volts, brings it down, a step down, before it can. You cannot put 40,000 directly inside here. You have to step it down. But the place that transformer is, you treat it with a lot of respect. You don't go there. Only experts who have tools, even when they want to work on it. Recently, they had to do some work in Agodi. They had to switch the whole light off before they can go there, remove the equipment, put in a new one, and all that kind of thing. That transformer is symbolic of spiritual leadership through whom we get covering. The power is coming from God. That's the 100,000. Then the transformer now brings it down and then distributes it. You don't enter the place of the transformer anyhow. That is why we need to have that reverence, that 2,000 cubits, to use that, you know, illustration. And it's a heart thing. It doesn't mean you can't be close and you can't be friendly. You can be. You know, I think one of the best illustrations I have, though Pastor Wiley didn't mention it, you know, of how to handle leadership and friendship is Nathan and David. No, Nathan and David were friends. Both of them were prophets. David was a prophet. Nathan was a prophet. But David was king. Nathan was not king. It's one of the best. I love the relationship between Nathan and David. Even when David sinned, Nathan went to him. He told him he sinned. But do you know that in spite of that, Nathan's respect for David remained? He kept that 2,000 cubits. He didn't join the rebellion. Even though David was wrong, he didn't join. That's why when Adonijah and all that, they didn't call Nathan. They know Nathan will never, never. Even though what David did was wrong, the first thing that came out of Nathan's mouth was that you will not die. For the Lord has put away thy sin. But you know, this and this and this will happen. And even then, he didn't leave David. He stood with David. He stood with David. Through the rebellion of Absalom and everything, he understood this principle. That even though David was driving a rickety car after the time of Absalom, you understand? But God was still in the back seat. All Shimei could see was the rickety car. I don't understand how anybody can, you know, but I understand because of the human heart, you know. It was insulting him. He stoned him, that bloody man. David was weeping. I feel for David. He was crying. He had no shoes. It was the people, the sons of those ones, all they know is action. They say, oh my Lord, who is this dead dog, this Benjamin? He said, just give me the, I will take his head off. He said, "You sons of Zeruiah, say you are too hard for me. If my own son is rebelling against me, how much more this Benjamite?" He said, "Leave him alone." He said, "Maybe God has sent him." But you know, God didn't forget. Fast forward, maybe 15, 20 years later. It wasn't over. God didn't forget. It was 20. David had died. He was on a deathbed. He called Solomon. He said, "Remember Shimei?" And all the wickedness that he said, "You are a wise man." Or Rabbalonso from Oluabi. He said, "You just, you know." And Solomon just called him. He said, "No problem." He said, "My father," I said, "there's no problem." He said, "But you know the wickedness of your heart." He said, "Don't worry." He said, "But don't go outside Jerusalem without permission. If you go, then your blood will be on your own head." No problem. 3 years. The question I want to ask, we're going to close, is why did God record it in the Bible? It's recorded. He said these things, he said all scripture is profitable. It's for our learning. It's for our learning. What David did was wrong. What David did was horrible. It was despicable. But it did not give anybody permission to rebel. He was still the Lord's anointed. Just like Saul was still the Lord's anointed. And it's very interesting. It was Saul's mouth that released David into the kingship. Saul wanted to kill him. He didn't want him to be king. And David, 3 times, he fell into God's said, "I can't touch him." Then one of the last times, David took his something and showed him. He said, "My father, my father." He said, "They say I want to kill you. If I wanted to kill you, I'd have killed you. Look, your water cruise is with me. You know, I don't want to kill you. It's not true." I said, "Is this my son David?" He said, "Now I know you will be king." David learned that lesson. It's a lesson we must all learn. I've moved, and I still, well, not as much as I used to, you know, over the years, but I've been close to men of God. You know, I'm still close to, well, not close, but I know a lot of things. I don't talk. Just pray. I leave them. He's not my servant. He's God's servant. Like President Obama says this often, you know, I just copied it from him. That's above my pay grade, man. That's above my... I just leave him and God. Are you God? His day will come. Paul, God, David said, his day to die will come. Or he will perish in battle. Or whatever. He said, but it will not be in my hand. That's what we need to learn. You see, men of God, anointed servants of God, when you see them make mistakes or say things they shouldn't say or do, just pray and leave it. God did not put the whip of chastisement of leadership into your hand. And he never will. It's a divine principle. It's a divine principle. And that's why over the years, you know, I don't preach personalities. You don't see me talk about people on the pulpit. If I even say anything, I always say what's positive. You know, if I say something that is negative, I will say the principle, but I will not tell the person. I've learned that principle and I still maintain it by the mercy and the grace of God up to today. Because I recognize that if you go against the anointed of God and you use your mouth, you know, or whatever it is, and you're bringing problem on yourself. Because God doesn't take lightly to that thing. You know why? It always reminds him of Lucifer. And he will not tolerate rebels in the kingdom. So let's keep the heart this day. The set time of our favor is here. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, there are suppliants who are fulfilling the conditions of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. And that is why God will heal our land. And be like God. Good note to end on. Laugh. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a failure. Be like God. Laugh. That's why you see me meditate. You see me laughing. Or even during worship, but I all laugh. You know what? I'm seeing what God is seeing. And I'm laughing with me and God. We are laughing. You know, when I see all these funny things going on in Nigeria. And I see all these funny things. I all laugh. You know why? I know 100% certain that God will do what he said he would do. Amen. It's just a question of time. And God is working out his purpose. There is nothing that can stop. There is no counsel or understanding against the Lord. It's going to come to pass. It is already, we can even see all the signs. You know, it's as certain as the dawn. The will of God will be done in the church. The church will be perfected. The glory of God will shine in the church. It will shine to Nigeria. And from Nigeria, it will shine to other nations. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached and demonstrated unto every tribe, tongue, and kindred for a witness. And then the end will come. Let's stand to our feet. Talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The set time of favor is here. Qualify yourself. Humble yourself. Pray. Turn from your wicked ways. When the external examiner comes and shows you what is wrong inside your heart, don't get angry. Get your makeup kit out. The blood, the word, and the spirit. And work on yourself. That's all. That's all. I have made you too small in mine eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive me. And I have believed in a lie.
I have believed in a lie that you
show.